You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
All right. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? Beautiful. Somebody said beautiful. Who's doing beautiful today? Let me see those hands. Okay. Well, three beautiful people. I guess the rest of us are just ugly. It is what it is, man. You got to live with what you got. Hey, look, we want to welcome any of our first-time guests today. We're so thankful that you're here today. And what we've got for you is we've got a little card, and you should have gotten one coming in. But if you didn't get one of those cards or you didn't get your notes for today's message, why don't you just slip your hand up? We got some folks that are going to come around and make sure you get one of those cards. As they're coming around, let me just tell you real quickly, if you're a guest with us today, we would ask you to fill that out and turn it in the offering at the end of the message. And all we want to do is just thank you for being a part. There are tons of other great churches in this area that you could have gone to this morning, but you chose to hang out with us, and we want to thank you for that with a simple letter or email, whichever is easiest for you. If you want to put that down there for us, we appreciate it. Home folks, you know this. We love to get feedback from you also. So give us your feedback on prayer requests, praise reports, things you've got going on. You can do that on those cards. Also, we would like a little bit of feedback on the 10:30 time slot as opposed to the 10 o'clock time slot. Go ahead and write that down. Don't shout anything out to me. That's why I have this water bottle so I can throw stuff at people. But no, for real, if you got any comments on that, whether it's easier, harder, better, whatever, write that down for us too. We'd love to get some feedback from you on that. This was kind of a two-week experiment just to see what it would be like. And next week we'll go back to our regular 10 o'clock time slot. See, that's exactly what I didn't want, and someone already broke the rules. Good thing it's dark in here, so I can't see who to hit. This morning, we're going to continue our message series called Reset. And really the reason we're doing this message series is because as you look back on life, most of us have regrets, right? I bet everybody in the room could look back on their life, no matter how old or how young you may be. You look back on your life and you're going to find some areas of life that you regret. Things you wish you could take back, things you wish you could start over, or things you wish you could do differently. When I look back at my life, I told you guys last week when we started this message, there are lots of things in my life I wish I could do over again. And one of those areas is the area of finance. I wish I would have taken care of my money better when I was younger. Another one that we're going to talk about today is in the area of health. Today, we're going to be talking about resetting our health. Quite a few of us can look back on our past and we can say, I wish I would have not eaten this, not done that, or exercised more, or not started using tobacco or alcohol, things that became addicted to me that were unhealthy for me. We can all look back on our past and see gaps and moments in our life that we wish we could reset in our health. And so today we want to share a message with you regarding your health. And I know right off the bat, people are going to be like, why in the world are we talking about health? Like, that should be something that we watch on PBS or, you know, ESPN. That's not something you talk about in church. In church, you're supposed to talk about God and Jesus, and you're supposed to talk about my spirit and get me spiritually healthy because that's all that matters. Well, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it matters the most that you're spiritually healthy. But we are spirit beings living in a flesh body, and we need to take care of what God has given us. And this is an illustration I just want to give you. It's very quick, but the Bible says this. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. In other words, everybody has a lifespan. And we're going to pretend, just for the sake of the illustration today, that this string, this nylon rope, which would make a terrible fuse, we'll just pretend like it's a fuse for today. And the thing is, whenever you're born, your fuse is lit on one end. And every day that fuse burns a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, until the day that God has appointed for you to die comes, and then the fuse goes out, right? So we've all got a time frame that we live in. Here's the problem. Every time that we make bad choices when it comes to our health, when we make bad decisions when it comes to our health, we're not cutting off the back end. See, the back end burns. You can never get those days back. I can't go back to 21 as much as I wish I could, right? I can't go back to 15 as much as I wish I could sometimes. We can't go back. All we can do is go forward. So whenever we make bad choices about our health right here, the only place we can take it off is on this end. So every time we make those choices,
that are against our flesh.
Look at that. We cut off a piece. So now all of a sudden our timeline is still there, right? Fuse is still burning. It just got shorter. And then we decide that, hey, I'm gonna, you know, I can eat whatever I want. I can drink whatever I want. You know, nobody's going to tell me what to do, right? I can do that and be healthy if I want to, or I don't have to be healthy. I'm going to take a little bit off here. Every time we decide that, you know, I know the doctor said I need to watch my cholesterol. I need to, you know, really exercise more. But I don't have to do that, right? I can sit around. I can watch TV if I want to. I can eat potato chips if I want to. Or maybe we look in the mirror and we say, you know what? I don't like what I see in the mirror. So it's okay if I, you know, don't eat this week. It's okay if I throw up whenever I eat. It's okay for me to do that because I'm trying to do something different. We take a little bit more off. And so we continually take stuff off. Here's the problem with taking chunks off of our life is now all of a sudden what God had intended for us to be long is now short. What God intended is cut off, not by God, but by you and I, by our choices that we make. Right? 900,000 people in America die every year from things that are preventable. Either disease or maybe choices they make in the list is included riding your motorcycle without your helmet on. Right? They do that in Florida all the time. I don't know how they do it. It would scare me to death. Riding without your seatbelt on. How many of you do that? Don't raise your hand. Some of you husbands don't do that and your wives don't know it. You have to confess later. So we make these choices and we choose what to do. The problem is we cut off chunks of our life. And here's the thing about cutting off chunks of our life is there are people within this chunk that we've cut off that need us. There are people whose lives could be changed in this chunk of time, but because we've cut it off, now their life never gets changed by you. You can look back right now, and I know there's some of you that can imagine. You can think back to people that changed and shaped who you are. Some of you can think back to your parents or grandparents or aunts and uncles, maybe a teacher or professor. Maybe you think back to a Boy Scout leader or a Sunday school teacher, somebody that had an effect on your life, somebody that really shaped who you are today. Now can you imagine if that person had decided to cut off that time frame where they would have met you? Now imagine what your life is like if somebody else decided to cut off their lifeline. I'm going to tell you right now, there are people in my life that have changed me for the better. And a lot of times those people weren't 15, 16 years old. A lot of times they were 70, 80 years old. And they were people that mentored me and people that loved me and people that spoke into my life and prayed for me when I needed some prayer. Y'all know, some of you that know me, you know I still need prayer, but I definitely needed prayer when I was younger, and I needed somebody speaking into my life. I can't imagine where I would be today had those people decided that their body isn't that important, and so they just begin to cut parts off. So that's why today we want to understand, we want a good understanding of what does it mean to be healthy. What does it mean? What does the Bible say about our health? Because I believe that God cares about your health. Look, the Bible says this. The Bible says that God, when He created man, dug His hands into the earth and pulled dirt out and formed with His hands, not unlike a kid playing with Play-Doh, formed you and me. Well, He formed Adam, who ended up producing us, right? And then the Bible says in Jeremiah, God speaking to Jeremiah, He says, Jeremiah, I've known you since I formed you in your mother's womb. God cares about this body. He cares about the body just as much as He cares about the soul. Now some of you may say, yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. The Bible says that God doesn't look at the outer appearance. God only looks at the heart of man. That's true. That's true. God does look at the heart of man. So God doesn't care if you're black or white, red or yellow. He doesn't care if you're tall or short or big or little. God doesn't care about that. You can still go to heaven just like that. But what God does care about is His purpose being fulfilled in your life. And if you're willing to cut off chunks of time, then what you're saying to God is, what I want is more important than your will. Because there's stuff God has for you. Caleb, a man in the Bible says that he was still fighting giants and taking mountains at 80 years old. It doesn't matter how old you are, God still has something for you. So I'm really not even speaking. If you're 80 years old in the room right now, You probably don't even need this. At this point, man, you just do whatever you want. I mean, you made it that far, you're good to go. But for those of you that are younger, and we got some folks in here just steady creeping up towards 80. I got, where's Lou today? Where is she? She's somewhere. She's somewhere hiding in the darkness probably. She's turning 40 today. The big 4-0. She's halfway dead. Lou, wherever you are, wherever you are. Hey, it's okay. Be careful walking like that. You got one foot in the grave. It's going. You don't want to get both in there. But look, those of us that are younger, we need to take heed to our body. So let's just look at a couple of things. I got two main reasons today that we need to pay attention to our body. If you got your notes, you can fill these in. Two main reasons. Number one is that we need to have endurance. We need to have endurance. Jesus said this. He said, "He that endures to the end shall be saved." Now, I get it. He's probably talking about your spiritual life. He that doesn't fall away. You know, the guy that doesn't drift off from God's path is gonna be saved. I get that. But what if it also applies to our body? What if it also applies to our body? That I've got something for you. I've got some kind of salvation. I've got some kind of purpose for you. And he that endures to the end is going to see that. The other one is this, that we've got to be ready for God's plan. In 2 Timothy 4:2, the Bible says, "Be ready in season and out of season." Be ready in season and out of season. Can I tell you something this morning? You never know what God's plan is. We may think we know, but God has His own way of doing things. And God can guide and direct us however He wants to. And you never know what God is going to put in front of you. I shared this last week. I just recently was able to get a second job. And in doing so, I had no idea it was coming. I didn't know it was going to happen. It was just kind of thrown in my lap, last minute kind of deal. I had no idea what I was getting into. So I've got the opportunity now to work with little kids. I work with elementary school kids. Some of them aren't that little. And I work with elementary school kids that are struggling, sometimes physically, sometimes mentally, and I go in and I help these guys out. I had no idea what I was getting into, and so what I've got to do is I've got to constantly be prepared and ready for what God may have. That word, that scripture that says, be ready in season and out, the word ready there means it's a military term. As though you're always standing on guard. You're always prepared for whatever may come. It's a guy looking into the darkness, knowing something's out there, but not knowing what it's going to be. So you've got to be ready. And so whenever we take care of our body, we are prepared physically for whatever God wants from us. I'll share this again in a couple of weeks when I preach about finances, but we need to be always ready for whatever God has. I've known of people before that God has called them. They felt like God spoke to them about going to another city or going to another country to do some kind of mission, ministry or missions work. And in doing so, they found themselves not being able to go because their finances weren't in order. Or they weren't able to do what God asked them to do because their body wasn't in order. And so we want to make sure that we're ready in season and out. There's a couple of things that I want to point out to you this morning that I think are important that affect all of us. And it has to do with why we would abandon our health. See, I think sometimes there's some folks, to be honest with you, they're addicted to health, right? They're addicted to health. They are health nuts. They're just always like gym rats. They're in there all the time. They fill their body up with all kinds of crazy mess, and they're addicted to it. So you've got both ends of the spectrum. You've got some people that go overboard and some people that don't do anything healthy whatsoever in their life. And so we've got to find a healthy balance in there. And there's a couple of reasons that we go to either one of those spectrums. One reason is a bad self-image. Sometimes we have a bad self-image. When I was growing up, I had a terrible self-image. I've told you guys this story quite a few times, but I was so skinny growing up that you could count my ribs all the way up to my collarbone. I thought my collarbone was a rib for a long time. And I was so skinny that I would put on these oversized T-shirts, you know, to cover up my skinniness, which makes total sense, until I realized one day my brother said that he was going to tie a rope to my leg and fly me like a kite, you know, because I had that big T-shirt on. And so I was super, super skinny growing up, and I had this terrible self-image. I used to look at myself all the time in the mirror, and I just thought, man, this is terrible. I hate who I am. I hate what I see in the mirror. And because I hated what I saw, it didn't motivate me to do anything about it. As a matter of fact, it was just the opposite. I would get so depressed, I wouldn't do anything about it. I was content to sit around and play video games and watch movies or whatever, and so I never did anything about my physical body. Sometimes it's the opposite of the spectrum. Sometimes people are bigger people and they look at themselves and they hate who they are, and other people pick on them and put them down. And they get this wrong self-image. They view themselves totally the wrong way. And it allows them to shut down their health. That's why you've got girls that are bulimic and anorexic. Why? Because they see something in the mirror that's just not true. And they're willing to destroy their own body to be a few pounds skinnier. And so what we've got to do today is get a better self-image. In that, there's two things I want to say. Number one, learn to love your body type. I'm going to go through this part real quickly. Learn to love your body type. I didn't share this in the first service because I forgot it, but my family, my mom's side of the family, are all just big people. You ever seen big people? Big people like, I'm not talking about big in weight. I'm talking about just big, like just big old, just big people, right? I always like everybody in that side of the family is like 6'8", 6'6", 6'5", and that's just the ladies, right? I mean, these are just some huge, just grown folks, you know what I mean? Just big old country strong. They pick up cows all the time, you know, and that's what they do. And so just big people. And look, and then there's some folks that are just little, like I'm just a little guy. Like at the end of the day, I'm never going to get bigger. Like I can put on a little bit of weight, but I'm never going to have broader shoulders. I can't make these shoulders get any bigger. I can't make these legs grow any longer, right? My bones are what they are. My frame is what it is. And at some point, you've got to learn to embrace who you are. You are what God created you to be. Now look, if I started packing on more weight, I could be unhealthy in the same frame. So I want to be healthy within my framework. But don't ever get upset. Well, I'm just big. I'm a big guy, and I wish I was smaller. Well, you can't be. You can't be me, and I can't be you. I wish I could be. There's times I wish my brother-in-law is like 6'4", and another one is 6'4", 6'5", and I look at those guys, and I think, man, I wish I could be taller. You know, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a... Never mind. But you want all the older folks are like, what in the world? And then some folks are like, he's not Christian. But then they think you're not a Christian too because you said it too. So it's okay. The other thing I want to point out on self-image is this. How many of y'all ever seen those Kia commercials? Anybody see the Kia commercial on Saturday morning? I want to see you in a Kia, right? I mean, drag, pull, push, your old beat-up clunker. It doesn't even matter if it's got an engine in it or tires. Matter of fact, we'll take a horse if you got one, and we'll give you $5,000 and a brand-new Kia, just anything we can do to get you in a Kia. And they got the people out there with the big rat head on, and he's dancing behind the Kia, and you got, Spider-Man driving the Kia out and all that kind of stuff. Have y'all seen those commercials? If you haven't seen those commercials, you need to watch network television, Saturday morning, like it's either before or after the cartoons. Well, it won't happen anymore because now we got football. Thank God for football. Gets rid of the Kia commercials. But you need to watch some of these cheesy, homegrown Kia commercials or car commercials. Can I tell you something? You will never see on Saturday morning, you will never see a Bentley commercial. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure I've ever seen a Bentley commercial, period. You know why? Because Bentleys are high class. They ain't Kias. Nothing against Kias. Like, for those of us in this room, we'd be doing good to get a Kia. Like, we're good with that, right? That's what I would love. I wish I had a new Kia. But the thing is, Bentleys are just a whole other class. They mass produce Kias. Like, they're just slapping stuff on them, and they're just shipping Kias out left and right. But if you go buy a Bentley, Like they're making that for you. That Bentley is handmade, handcrafted. Like, that Bentley has real leather. Like, that, it's not pleather, right? It's not pleather that sticks to your legs. This is real, like, for real leather. Like they grew a cow just to get leather for your Bentley. Like, that's, I mean, it's like the real deal. You know what I'm saying? See the difference? Sometimes we view ourselves as a Kia. I'm nobody. I'm just like everybody else. I'm just a face in the crowd. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. I'm just cheap. But look, God views you as a Bentley. What I said earlier, God handmade you for a purpose. God dug you up out of the dirt. God had you in mind when He made you. He wasn't just mass producing people. He made you for a reason and a purpose. You are a Bentley, and you need to look at yourself like a Bentley and stop looking at yourself like a Kia. Because whenever we start looking in the mirror and we start seeing who God sees instead of who we see, then all of a sudden taking care of your body is a lot easier. You give me a Kia, like right now, I'm just going to be real with you guys. We got like this old Buick that I bought for like $8,000 7 years ago, paid cash for it, and just got it to have a car. We needed two cars so Perry could drive to school and I could go to work. And so we bought this car. And this car, it runs, but that's about it. It's like all the lights come on and off at random times. The gas tank, meter doesn't work anymore, so we never know if it's full or empty. So every 200 miles, we fill it up whether it needs it or not. And then if someone forgets to press the little button to tell us it's in 200 miles and we're in trouble and we run out of gas on the side of the road. The air conditioner doesn't work in this thing anymore. It's just a piece of junk. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Like I don't really take care of it, like I would a nicer vehicle. Like when I look at that car, I think, yeah, I'll wash it every so often. You know what I mean? It's a get-around car. You ever seen one of those? Like, my dad used to have this old pickup truck on the property, right? You don't really care that much about it. You can run into a tree. Who cares? It's a get-around. It's just to get around the property. And sometimes we view ourselves like that. But if I had a Bentley, I'd wash that thing with baby wipes every day. You know what I mean? Like I'd be out there if I had a Bentley, I would change clothes before I got inside. I'd take my shoes off and leave them outside. Buy a new pair of shoes wherever I went because I just, if I had a Bentley, I'd have enough money to do that. We need to learn that our bodies are created by God. We're an amazing, amazing invention. Not to be taken lightly. The second thing that's a problem with us as far as our health is concerned is depression. We get depressed, and whenever we get depressed, we either overeat or we undereat or we become less active. I've been depressed before. I hate to admit it, but I have been depressed before. When I get depressed, the way I deal with depression is totally wrong, not the way to do it, but I won't eat. I'll go lay on a couch. I'll go lay in a bed. Perry will say, "You want something to eat?" "No, I don't want anything to eat." I remember one time I came home from church, and it was one of those times when we had a church service. I don't know what happened. I don't know why. I just let something get to me. I got home. I was depressed. I laid on the couch. It was a nighttime. I laid on the couch until it was time. Everybody went to bed. I didn't eat. I didn't do anything. I just laid there. I actually fell asleep on the couch, got up, went to bed, never talked to my family, never spent. Why? Because depression has its effect on us. Some of us get depressed and we overeat. Like we just open up the refrigerator and whatever's in there is going in our mouth. I don't care what it is. I'm eating it. And especially if it's a Twinkie, right? Or ice cream. I don't know. How many of you are ice cream eaters when you're depressed? Yes, yes. My people, I love you. I love ice cream. I could eat ice cream 3 meals a day. That's right. I've got this rule at my house. If it's not in my house, I won't eat it. Amen. So that helps. The only problem is you do small groups sometimes and people bring like Doritos, which is one of my weaknesses, or they'll bring ice cream, or my mother-in-law. She has no idea about health because she's always skinny no matter what she does. But she is way, she's pro getting everybody else big. Like she will feed you. She's like, "Here's ice cream and pasta and everything bad. Just eat it, eat it, eat it." And I'm like, "What are you going to eat?" As I'm shoveling my food in my face, she's like, "Oh, I'm not eating tonight. I'm skinny." Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for ruining my life. So we get depressed. Now listen, let me tell you something real quick. I got to move on. I'm taking way too much time telling jokes that are not making sense. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says this. The people are upset. The people are upset because they've been confronted with the truth. Sometimes when the truth confronts you, it makes you mad, right? When the truth confronts you, it hurts your feelings. And the people have been confronted with the truth. They're realizing, hey, I haven't been serving God. Boom, truth is there. And the Bible says that Nehemiah has to stand up and talk to the people. He says, "Do not mourn or weep." That's in verse 9. Skip down to verse 10. It says, "And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." We've got to find the joy of the Lord. We've got to allow His joy to strengthen us. When we're down, it's our choice to be down. Now, I know some people are clinically depressed. I get it. But for the most part, when we get depressed, it's our choice. It's a choice I make to allow something to affect me in a negative way. The third thing is addictive behavior. I was, this is going to be a long sermon. I was, a couple years ago, I found myself addicted to a couple of things. I had these addictions. They weren't good for me. I was addicted to French fries, especially from McDonald's. It got to the point when I was driving home, I would go out of my way. Like, someone would be like, it's quicker to go this other way to your house. I'm like, no, it's good. I'm going to just go this way, and I'd drive this other way. And then all of a sudden, my car would just magically, like, turn itself into McDonald's and just to get a large fry. Like, that's all I wanted. I wasn't getting food. Like, I had already eaten lunch, and I was about to eat dinner, but I was like, it's a good time for a large French fry. And so I'd go in, I'd get me a large French fry, and I was eating French fries all the time. I love French fries. John and Karen tried to bring that addiction back to me the other day, doing some little game for the kids back there for junior high, the preteen group. And they were like, eat French fries. And then they brought me hash browns instead. And so that helped, because I thought I was going to throw up and never want to eat hash browns again. And then I found myself eating, those nasty old chocolate-covered donuts that you get in a roll at the gas station for 75 cents. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all don't know what I'm talking about? You've never been to a gas station? You're all lying to me right now. Those things are terrible, and they're terrible for you. But I found myself every time I would drive past a gas station, I would pull in, not to get gas, but because I had to get me a little pack of donuts and a Red Bull. And that was what, so French fries, packs of donuts, and Red Bulls. And then Dunkin' Donuts moved into Trustful, and I thought my heart was going to explode. And so I had these addictions. And I got this wake-up call one day whenever I was trying to get insurance and they had to do a blood test on me. When they did the blood test on me, I had high cholesterol. And I was like, but I'm skinny. And the doctor was like, but your heart's going to blow up. It doesn't matter. And so I started having to make some changes, but not too quickly, because on my way to the doctor to get checked on, I did stop and get some more donuts and a Red Bull. So it is what it is. But that was a few years ago. So I get to the doctor, and the doctor's like, you need to start eating better. And you need to start exercising. And it was a wake-up call to me. Because here's what I thought. I thought, what part of my kid's life is this strand right here? Like, is this my daughter getting married and me walking her down the aisle? Is donuts and Red Bulls and French fries worth cutting that part off? Is this part my son growing up to do something great for God, and I miss it. I miss it because of something like donuts? Really? Is it worth it? And so I started thinking like that. I started thinking about my future. I started thinking about God's plan for my life. What about this part? What if this is the part where we finally get a building at Gateway Family Church? I'm going to cut that one off. So what am I missing? It's my addictive behavior. But here's what Paul said, and I love this verse. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 13, he said, everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Everything's permissible, but I will not be mastered by anything. What's mastering you today? What are those things that are keeping you? What addiction is keeping you from a healthy lifestyle? What addiction is worth cutting this off today? What's mastering you? Maybe it's drugs or alcohol or tobacco, or maybe it's French fries and hamburgers and pizza, right? Maybe it's you know, talk about, and I'm not saying this to be mean because I've talked to a lot of our guys now. We've got a lot of young guys that are working out and exercising, and they're all getting big and buff, and it's just really intimidating to me. I told Tim Carter this morning, I was like, man, if I could just take your arm off and just put it on mine. It's not that much bigger than mine, but it does look better. So if I could just have it, it'd be great. Give me a little jump start. And so we got these guys doing that. So I'm not saying this against any of them, so you guys forgive me. But look, even on that side of the spectrum, there's addictive behavior on that side. I just watched this show the other day on bodybuilders and steroids. And they were talking, this doctor's on there talking about how it blows your heart up. Like, your heart starts enlarging. We just had not long ago. How many of you watched WWF and WCW when you were a kid like I did? Yes, sir. Ric Flair, Sting, Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant. I loved Andre the Giant. He was huge. And you got all these guys, but listen, they're so pumped up full of steroids that now their hearts are blowing up. This guy that was called Ultimate Warrior, he was one of my favorites, right? He had this crazy paint on his face and this wild hair, and I envy him for his hair. And then he had these bands on his arms that made his biceps really bulge out, and I just loved this guy. And at 50-something years old, he's walking down the street with his kid, and his heart gives out on him, and he dies. Not because he was doing steroids right then. Not even because he had done steroids in a little while. It had been from years ago. It was years ago he decided to make a choice to cut off a piece of his life. So I'm just telling you, it's on both ends of the spectrum. It's on both ends. And so we got to make sure that we're not addicted. So very quickly, I know y'all want me to shut up. So let me just talk about a couple of ways we can reset our life. Some of these are practical. Some of these are spiritual. A couple of ways we can reset our life, reset our health. Number one is have fun. Like, at the end of the day, learn to have fun. Learn to enjoy life. Look, if you go to the gym and you work out 3 hours a day and it's not fun, then you've just added 3 hours of stress to your life. Like, go have fun. I like my brother-in-law, Jesse, until he blew his knee out. He would never, like, we would go work out together, and he would never work out with me. Like, we would get to the gym, and he'd be like, oh, let's do one set and then go hit the hot tub. Like, that's his idea of working out. But it was because, like, for Jesse, it wasn't fun to go push weight, right? He had more fun playing racquetball, playing basketball. He's a more active sports guy, and so that's fun to him. So find a way to make being healthy fun. Set a goal. Find something that you enjoy. Maybe it is, I've never been able to run a mile before, and I want to do that, you know, before I die. And then you go and you work your way up to running a mile. When I was a kid, I loved obstacle courses and jungle gyms and monkey bars. So whenever I found out that they have obstacle courses for adults, I was like, heck yeah, I'm going to jump on that. So I started running Spartan races. And people were like, how can you like Spartan races? There's barbed wire cutting you, and you're climbing over walls and falling in mud. And, you know, you come back with scrapes and bruises. It's a blast. I love it. And so now that makes me working out in the mornings. It's like so easy because I think, Spartan race. I'm getting ready for a race. I'm preparing my body for something fun that I'm going to enjoy. So you make life fun. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself. Proverbs 17:22 says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Sometimes we try and be healthy like someone else is healthy, and it just crushes our spirit. Right? So find what's fun to you. Number two, be active. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, physical exercise has some value. It's important that you learn to get active. Americans today are more sedentary than any other time in our history. Or really the world is. You know, when Paul is writing this, people walked everywhere they went. They were active just in life. And so for Paul to say, hey, it has some value, yeah, because back in those days you didn't have to do a lot of exercise because you're already exercising just to live. Right? And so it's important to understand, we've got to learn to be active. So maybe you work an office job. This is just super practical. Maybe you work an office job and you sit a lot. Hey, every hour, stand up and walk around. Stand on one leg, practice balancing. I don't know, do something. I used to work at this church, and where they put me was up in like the great nether regions of the church. And so I'm up away from everybody else. My office had no windows and just one door. And I'm in this little office, and I find myself just sitting there all day. And so I made up my mind, every time I go to the bathroom, I'm going to run to the bathroom. Like, I didn't need to, but I just did. I'm sure if somebody had video cameras up there, you know, they would think, look at this freak. Because I was just like, okay, got to go to the bathroom. You know, I'm running down the stairs and up the stairs. And I just thought, every time I go up the stairs and down the stairs, I'm not going to go one step at a time. I'm going to skip steps. Why? Because I was tired of just sitting on my tail all day, and I wanted to be active. It's important that you learn to be active, whatever that means to you. Go outside, cut your grass. If you're never active, don't use a mower. Don't use a mower. Get out there with the machete like the Guatemalans used to do, man. Just get out there, chop that junk down. You can do that. You will be very strong, at least in one arm, right? So be active. Number three, you need to fuel up. Look, I told you earlier, you're a Bentley, not a Kia. I could take a Kia to the gas station right now, buy the cheapest gas they got. It's half water. I could throw it in that Kia, drive that bad boy all over town. I do the same thing to a Bentley, and it'll lock it down. Why? Because a Bentley is a fine-tuned engine, right? My motorcycle is nothing special. I've got a Honda motorcycle. It's nothing special. But you can't load that thing down with ethanol or it'll shut it down. You've got to buy premium gasoline and put in there. For your body is created the same way. You need premium fuel in your body. That's a lot of water and a lot less Cokes. I have a friend of mine one time, he lost like 30 pounds in a month. The only thing he did was stop drinking Cokes and started drinking water. For 1 month, lost 30 pounds. That stuff is not good for us, right? I'm not saying you can't ever do it, but just think about what you're doing. Just understand, I'm going to pay the price for this, right? And so, like, every so often, I will drink a root beer, especially if my brother-in-law's got a Virgil's root beer, the best root beer I've ever put in my mouth. But I don't do it very much. I don't drink one a day. I drink water almost constantly. Eat food that's good for you. Look, go back to Adam's day. Go back to Noah's day. They didn't have McDonald's. They didn't have fried foods. They didn't have processed foods. You know what they had? They had what you pulled up out of the ground or what you killed with your hands. Now, if some of y'all had to kill something with your hands, you'd starve to death. So don't do that. Let somebody else do the killing for you, and then you eat it. But it's important for you to understand that to be healthy, it's going to take some work. And some people are like, well, I can't afford to be healthy. It's too expensive to eat health food. No, it's not. It's just as expensive to go to McDonald's every day. And it prolongs your life. You can go to the grocery store and buy a package of chicken breasts and fry those bad boys up. Tuna is cheap. I eat it every day. I know that doesn't sound good, and as I'm saying it, it doesn't sound good, and I need to rethink my menu tomorrow. But you know what I do? I try stuff until I like it. So, like, at my lunches right now, I take tuna with me, and I 3 cans of tuna, I throw it in a little Tupperware jar, and I've got that, and then I've got Greek yogurt, and I hate Greek yogurt. I absolutely hate Greek yogurt, but it's so good for you. And so I hate Greek yogurt, so I keep trying different flavors, and I finally found one I liked. Right? And then I throw some grapes in that bad boy, and that's my lunch for the day. It's not expensive. It just takes changing your taste buds. It's also not McDonald's, which tastes awesome. But then your heart blows up. So we want to make sure we're not doing that. So fuel up. And fueling up, another thing just to remember is eat more protein and eat less carbs. I know some of y'all are pasta people and you're bread people. I am too. I could eat cinnamon rolls 10 times a day and donuts. I love them. But they're not good for you. So you might want to try backing off of that stuff. Pastor Shane had he read an article, and I really like what he said. He said, if you're going to have a cheat day, they said, look, if you're going to eat clean. But give yourself a cheat day if you're just learning how to do it. But they said, on your cheat day, only eat bad if it's something you make yourself. So if you're willing to make your own French fries, then do it. But understand that it's not stopping by the grocery, by McDonald's or Five Guys or whatever the case is. And don't think this. Don't think, well, Pastor Gabriel just said that and he never eats bad stuff. Yes, I do. I just don't make I don't have a out of balance diet. You know, like my idea of a balanced diet is not 2 hamburgers, 1 in each hand. That's not a balanced diet. My idea of a balanced diet is I'm going to eat clean as much as I can. And every so often, if I have to, I'll cheat and I'll eat something that's not super clean. But I know this, I'm going to work it off the next morning. I'm going to discipline myself. The last two I want to give you this morning is get rest. This is, you know, every sermon I try and put something in that I need. This is mine. Get rest. Psalm 127:2 says, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Let me tell you something about getting rest. Getting rest. Rest is not sleep. Okay? There's a difference. Some of y'all get lots of sleep. You don't get any rest. Rest is not necessarily sleep. Because I've heard this great saying, I love it. It says, a person that works with his mind rests with his hands. In other words, a person that has to sit at a desk all day and do stuff with his mind loves to get out. And for them, rest is to work in the garden or go play ball or go work out. So rest for a mind worker is working with his hands. Someone that works with their hands, rest for them is working with their minds, being able to sit back and watch a movie or watch a TV show and just rest and relax. You need to understand that. The other thing you need to understand about rest is a reward for working hard. Some folks like to rest and they haven't done any work. That's what we call lazy. And lazy is not healthy. You only rest because you work. That's God's rule, not mine. He said this. He said, I worked for 6 days, and on the 7th day I rested. He worked for 6, rested for 1. I told you guys earlier, I'm working 2 jobs right now, and I really love it. It's not a bad thing. But I have to wake up early. Like, I'm up at 3:30, 3:45 every morning. I hit the gym. I have to be at the school early, and it's a 30-minute drive. I work all day there, and I come home, and sometimes I go to the office here and work again. And so I've got this crazy schedule right now. And so because of that, I have to have a rest day. So I've told my wife, I've told my coworkers, I was like, look, on Saturday, don't bother me. Like, leave me alone on my Saturday. Give me my one day when I can rest and relax. And my body tells me I need it. This Saturday, my body was trashed, man. I was tired. I was done. And so Perry was like, I'm going to take the kids and go sit by the pool, and you just stay home and rest. And I did. I did. I had a good time. So I want to make sure that you need to know you need to get rest too. Working all the time, working out all the time, exercising all the time, that's great, but you're going to run your body into the dirt. Number five, and this is the most important of all of them, is live at peace with God. Check this out, Proverbs 14:30. A heart at peace is life to the body. You can be as healthy as you want to be. You can eat granola every day and work out 3 hours a day, and you can do all that stuff. But if your heart is not right with God, if your heart's not right with God, then you become anxious, you're not at peace, and your life is going to feel the effects of that. When I was talking earlier about the string, the healthy body without the healthy soul is always looking at the end of the string, wondering when it's going to come. But for those of us that are healthy on the inside, our hearts are pure, our hearts are right with God, we have peace, then we can look at the string and enjoy it because we know what's on the other end of it. We knows what happens. We knows what happens, folks. We know what happens when the fire burns to the end. We go to heaven. We're with God forevermore. But the problem is, if you don't know that, if you don't know what's at the end of your string, then your life is full of stress because you're always wondering. You're always wondering, what's going to happen? What happens when I die? What happens, you know, who's right? Buddha, Muhammad, Jesus, who's right? What's going to happen? You get all these questions begin to fill your life. So before you worry about getting your body healthy, let's get our heart healthy. Let's get our spiritual man healthy. Let's get him in communion with God, in relationship with God, and then we live at peace. I want to give you one thought. It's not a point or anything like that. Just something I wrote down that I liked. And it's this, a disciplined life is a blessed life. A disciplined life is a blessed life. God blesses disciplined people. The Bible says, show me a man, in the book of Proverbs, it says, show me a man that is diligent in what he does, and he will stand before kings and not mere men. In other words, you put yourself, you become diligent at what you do, and you gain favor from God. Even when it comes to money, and we'll talk about this. I'll use the same thought in 2 weeks when I talk about money. But the Bible says, if you become disciplined in giving me your tithe and tithing, right? Then I will open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing on you that you can't even contain it. So the Bible says this, my blessings are for those that are disciplined. That are disciplined. I'm not asking everybody in here to be bodybuilders. I'm not asking everybody in here to go run a Spartan race with me. Although, if you want to, that'd be a lot of fun. What I am asking you to do is this. View yourself the way God views you. View yourself the way God views you. And then live your life according to that. View yourself as a Bentley, not as a Kia. And then live your life according to that.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.